That is loving and
Sorry, I forgot to hit record when we first started.
that, you know, so it is both a way that, you know, like shares what needs to happen, but it does so in a way that is, there's love and grace, but a firmness, you know, saying, okay, yeah, this is a deficiency and it needs to change. And it is true in my life and in the life of other Christians. And before I can even say anything about anyone else, I need to make sure that I'm making that change, because something that the Holy Spirit spoke to me when I was looking around, this was before I was very critical, and I was like seeing, you know, like some of the things in the Bible, and the Lord spoke to me, but he did it in a way that was very loving to them, and he was like, well, they need to see it, why don't you show them, you know? And I was like, yeah, like if I want to see that in other people, I need to be, you know, like doing it myself and helping them, you know, and not just looking at them in a critical way, but saying, okay, you know, like there's a need there, and I could be the vessel that the Lord uses to, first of all, for other people to see it, for me to see it in my life, for them to see it in my life, and then to show them how to live it out in their lives. If that makes
no, that's
sense.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. This week, let me flip this camera on. Okay. This week I got to share. I took a young man out. He's about 40 years. Well, I say young man, but 40, I'm 46. So yeah, he's a very young man. Youthful. Extremely youthful. Just a child. Anyways, he's an ex-biker. Walking away from, this is the first time I ever met him. We had a conversation over the phone. He reached out to me and he was like, hey, you know, I hear you guys pastor a church. I live in Manteca. I was living with my girlfriend. I moved out and I'm renting a room. I'm just trying to get my life in order. I just got baptized and I don't know what to do. And so I picked him up. We went to go grab just coffee, tea, and we just hung out for a good hour and 20 minutes. And I just heard a story, just kind of shared with me what was going on, you know, in his life and what was happening. And his first thing was, you know, I want my girlfriend to come to church. Can we come on Sunday? And so this is where I want to, you know, this is where we need to start shifting some of this stuff. And I told him, I said, you know, why don't we do this? I said, if you're willing to meet with me, let us sit down. Let me hear your story. Let's share. What if you and I can build a friendship? And we can walk this out together. And why don't, before you bring her here, what if I walk out with you just through the word, to strengthen you, and then you go sit with your girlfriend and share that with her. Why don't we do that? And so we just kind of talked, and I just kind of shared with him. I said, you know, because here's the thing. If all we do is bring them to me, then I'm the guy up on the platform and the pedestal, and that needs to be Jesus. So if we can start from that foot forward, let's start right there. Because I don't want to put anyone in Jesus's place. Let's all make disciples. And so we just talked, we prayed, and he had some questions about just being a Christian. So I just kind of walked him through some stuff. And then afterwards at the end, he was like, dude, I get that. That makes so much more sense than me just bringing my girlfriend and her kids to a place. And so we made a deal that we're going to meet once a week. I'm going to walk it through with him, teach him a Bible study, and he's going to teach her exactly what I taught him. And so we're going to talk. Absolutely. We're making a disciple. And so he's super stoked. We've been texting every day. He got on the Bible. You know, he was like, what should I do? Start reading the Bible. Where should I start? And, you know, one of the things he just says, you know, what should I start doing? I said, get the Gospel of John, 15 minutes, get a spiral notebook and start writing every day. Just start getting in the Word. 15 minutes. Just start getting in the Bible for 15 minutes.
Do you tell people to start with John?
I do.
Yeah.
And so he texted me yesterday, and he was like, hey, I get off of work at 4. What time are we going to? I mean, here's the thing. I'm not even tracking him. He's on it with me. There's another gentleman that we've been meeting on the phone for a couple weeks now. He's got severe PTSD. He was serving in the military. He did 20-something years in corrections, and he was diagnosed with PTSD. He's gone to churches, ministries, psychiatrists, psychologists, he's on all kinds of stuff, and he's just losing his mind. And I got a call from a woman in Washington who knew me from JHLM and reached out to me and said, nobody can help this kid. He's in Bakersfield, my son-in-law. They're going to take him 5150. Can you please reach out to him? He's basically lost his mind. And instead of abusing his family or his wife, he's abusing himself.
So 5150 is an involuntary hold in psychiatry.
Oh. Which he's already been twice. So now over the past several years. So this third time, it was going to now upscale it to a very serious situation. And so what? We talked on the phone. I spent about 45 minutes with him. I just had, what questions do you have? He had some questions. And I just walked him through the Bible. And one of the things that I really focused on, see, here's the thing, guys, I know I'm telling just testimony this week, and then anyway, you guys online, just raise your hand. They're helping me watch if you guys have a question or you want to chime in. Guys, make sure that you are active listeners. Not just listening to say the next thing when they're done speaking, but be an active listener. Listen to what they're telling you and believe one thing. The Holy Spirit wants to reach this person more than you do. And the Holy Spirit is much more vested in this person than you are. So as you're listening, allow the Holy Spirit to bring things to your attention that you're hearing. Like this gentleman, as he was telling me all this stuff, everything, you know, all these different things. One of the things I kept on hearing him say is two things. I was begging God, number one, and number two, that I was hoping through me begging, he would show up. So very simple. This is what I did with him on a very surface level. I said, do you have a Bible app? And he said, no. Okay. Gave him the Bible. Upload it. Okay. Gave him the Blue Letter Bible. Do me a favor. Yeah. Look up this word in him. Why? Just do it. He typed in him. And I said, hey, I've got to go meet with the builder real quick. It's going to be about 5 or 10 minutes. All those scriptures, can you read it? I'll call you back in 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, after you read those scriptures and let's talk about it. Now, this dude's going 5150 twice. He's going all this stuff. Left him alone with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God for 15 to 20 minutes. I came back and that changed his life because he had never caught how the scriptures say that the Spirit of God being in you. He was bawling his eyes out because nobody had ever showed him something so simple. That changed the whole conversation over the last few weeks. He's not been hospitalized. He's actually been doing really good. I just spoke to him on Thursday. He was super excited. Wednesday or Thursday, super excited. We prayed again. He was like, dude, I'm writing my Bible. Angel, I was reading through the Gospel of John. Just through all the medication, he goes, I have to do it really slow. But so he got through like a chapter and a half, but he highlighted things that he had never caught before because he was reading it slow. One of the things that he caught that was really big to him was when Jesus says, and in him was the light of men. So God's light is in me. because remember I got him that part of in you? And so he's fighting all this darkness in his head that he thinks he's full of, hoping that light from heaven would shine in him, never realizing. And now he's grasping, no, light's in you. And it's just transformed everything for the children. He's on vacation right now with his family. They went out for a few days, him and his wife and his kids. And it's just, is he out of the woods yet? No, we're working through some things. But just being able to walk people through the scriptures, which means you got to know the scriptures to walk them through, and you got to be able to connect them. And the other thing is a guy that I'm still working with, he just got baptized. Led him to Christ. He's a coworker, and we meet on the phone once a week, or sometimes twice, sometimes Mondays and Fridays. But every Monday we pray together, and we walk it through. And his name is Chris Breslin, and he got baptized this Sunday. This is a coworker. Yeah, and so he just got baptized, super excited, but the church he goes to, because he's an usher now. I asked him a simple question. I said, okay, Chris, now that you're baptized, I'm a guy that comes up. I said, hey, Chris, I don't know Jesus, but I heard your testimony at church yesterday, and I'd like to change my life, but how do I do that? And he's like, why do you put me on the spot? I said, because I'm supposed to. I said, tell me. Guys, the same thing we're talking about here, doing that, I'm doing this with the guy over the phone. And so he worked through his testimony a little bit. And I said, okay, hey, man, should I get baptized now? Should I get baptized later? Should I wait? Is there a better time? Why should I get right? And just kind of walked him through and just walked him through, because ultimately he said, he goes, well, the church explained baptism. I said, well, I need you. Do you know what the Bible explains baptism? So then we had a conversation. Now, again, this is several conversations during the week. But we got to have that conversation started Monday. And it was just really cool because Friday we talked. He called me before he was meeting with a client. He was like, hey, man, let's pray. Let's close out. You know, I want to close out the contract. Just pray with me and just kind of working through. And he started sharing with me how he started sharing the gospel with his wife and his son. See, if I can help him, he can help his family way more often than I could. I'm limited. He lives there. And like you were talking about, a person of peace. He is that person of peace into the role of his family. Because what is the heart of the Father? To win everyone. Every family. You see that over and over again in the book. And so kind of taking that through. So that was this week, you know, and I'm going to, with Philip, I'm just going to work with him on an individual basis. You guys will meet him. But I told him, I said, I don't want you to come. I said, let me work with the group that we have now that we've been together. I said, Philip, let me work with you individually for a little. Let me help you get your feet off the ground. I'll spend my time with you. Okay, I'll do that. I said, but do the homework, then let me just walk this through. And he was super excited. You know, and then he asked me about his girlfriend and, you know, how should I approach that, you know? And I said, well, can you be a friend? Well, yeah. Can you be a friend without benefits? Well, yeah. Okay. Then make sure you do that. You know, be a friend. If you love this girl, maybe one day you want to marry her. Can you be a friend? You don't have to be a boyfriend to preach the gospel to her. But you know what you can be is a friend. Can you be kind? Can you be courteous? Can you, you know, and he was like, well, yeah. I said, okay, then do that. Be a friend. You know, because he's living here. She's living in a different place. And you know, he's like, and then one of the things that he said was, well, she's got kids and they call me dad. I said, okay, I understand that. Here's my advice. Does God view you as their father? Right now, does God view you in the responsibility role of being their father? You say, well, no. Okay, then don't be consumed by what somebody else is labeling what they put on. Can you be a friend? Can you be a loving person in these kids' lives without crossing the line and yet be a help and an assistance. Well, yeah, I think I can. Then do that. And if the relationship grows, praise God, let it grow. But it ain't going to grow if you ruin it. Be a friend. And that's where we left off on Saturday. And he was just like, dude, it's been really good. You know, I've gone over. I made dinner. We had a great time. I prayed with her. And, you know, I got to pray with the kids. And he goes, and as we told me, he said, I got to share Jesus with her older daughter. And he said, so I like this. I like this because you're making me grow. That's the point. That's the point. So, Jenny, Albert, anything you guys want to add to it?
Just one thing. I feel super excited because when I come back and I just heard you guys, you know, using this book and this program, because I can hear that in China, and I was going through some similar thing. And the disciple making is always in my heart. So I feel super excited. And basically I have been doing the same thing. I mean, if it's that's an individual, I'm walking that person through. And the thing is that, you know, people in a different space, a different place. And then I kind of like, when I see that, when I figured out, I tried, okay, I think one thing that I think it's really caught my attention is that people just don't know when they come to the Lord. Maybe nobody really tell them, or they don't read that in the Bible or in the example of Jesus. People don't know that they are supposed to be a disciple.
Yeah.
Now, I kind of like, I really want to add that component into my gospel presentation. I want to call that person to discipleship at the beginning so that they know they're supposed to. Because after I preach the gospel, I want to tell that person, you know what, now you need to follow Jesus. That's basic discipleship. And I need to give that person something to do. That's the practice. That's the reality of a disciple, right? So, and then just follow through. That's in my mind. That's discipleship. Even though I may not say that to that person, but I'm doing that. And at the same time, that person need to go out and do something to other people. So yeah, I totally agree. I'm so excited. Basically, I want to see, you know, how this looks like in US and also in China. In China, I taste something. I see how that goes in China. There are different things, but the program here, in the Great Commission, that's the same. I mean, this must work because God laid it out for us. This must work. So by faith, I know this will work. But how it works here and in China, I'm trying to figure out. But guys, yeah, I'm super excited. I just want to let you know, when I come back last week, someone called me, and I try to help them. And other people, they come, they tell me their story. I have the same mindset. I try to help them where they are right now. So that's, to me, that's discipleship. Yeah. I will talk to you more. Yeah.
It's so important because, guys, here's the thing too, in the discipleship part. If we're all following Jesus, then don't make them follow your doctrine or your belief system. Take them to the Word of God. Go ahead.
So it's just with everything that you've been saying, what you were saying before about not being in the place of Jesus, like lead them to the source.
Yeah.
So they can go to the source and help bring other people to the source. And that relieves the pressure off of, I have to be perfect. I have to do everything right. Like, you know, they're depending on me. No,
yeah.
They're depending on, and you're depending on Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and so you lead them to that source, so then they and show them how and then show them how they can bring the people to the source. And then that relieved that pressure off of you. And once I realized that, that helped me a lot. You take yourself out of it.
Yeah.
Well, because even in the beginning, I don't remember who it was that asked on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. They said, what if we don't have an answer? That's a great opportunity to teach them how to go to God then. I don't know. Your question, I don't know. You know what? Let's pray about that right now.
Exactly.
And let's ask the Holy Spirit for help to help us both get that answer together. And because ultimately all of us are dependent on the Spirit of God being obedient to his word and doing what he asked us to do. And if we don't have an answer, it's okay to be honest and say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But let's work through it together. Yeah. Yeah. And oh, Albert, go ahead.
So I guess I've been doing a lot of street ministry for a long time, but like I've not been effective in it. Like every time I talk to somebody, like I never get them hooked in. They just kind of like slip out of my, like they slip out of, like they don't, they're not hearing what I'm saying. Like, or even if they do for a moment, then they like turn back. I'm not sure why, like I'm not effective in that area, in this area.
Okay. Well, one, let's do this, Albert. Let's do this maybe after the call a little bit later today. I'll text you when everyone leaves. Read to me, because I know you were on the call on Tuesday. The Wednesday, sorry. Read to me your story, and let's walk it through. The story you were writing down?
Yeah.
Let's walk it through together, number one. And number two, we're going to talk a little bit about this as we get into chapter four, because I know we went through chapter four, but I want to hit some high points over these next, between today, Wednesday, that I think are really important. I want to reiterate, and then I want us to continue on in the book beyond that. But I just want to hit some things. Hi, Cynthia. Chapter four, if you want to turn your book real quick, just to go through, there's some high points.
Okay.
It would be 63. And I'm just going to read it and kind of, you know, I don't want to linger too much because I don't want to spend too much time. I want to get through, we can, about 6 or 7 pages of this, of chapter four. But chapter four is so important before we get into, because we got to grasp the mindset here. The mindset going into this is really important, because then those bricks lay the foundation for the other parts. And so we're talking about kingdom kernels, the bottom of page 63. It says Jesus' entire ministry was focused on initiating the kingdom of God. He used the word kingdom over 100 times, while he used the word church only twice. His first words in Mark were about the kingdom. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The word repent means to change your whole way of thinking. Notice it doesn't say repent means shedding tears. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but that's not the definition of the word repent. Next page, 64. When Jesus was launching a kingdom so radical in nature that we must realign our whole concept of what God wants to do in and through us. And this is a part that I underline, especially in how he will do it. Guys, understand, you were empowered by the Spirit not to have great worship services. You were not empowered with the indwelling of the Spirit of God so you can have goosebumps in certain moments. You were not empowered by the Spirit of God so you could feel good about yourself. That might be one end result outcome. You might feel goosebumps at times. You might have great, significant experiences. But that's not the purpose and only purpose of it. You were filled with the Spirit of God so that the kingdom of God would come nigh into the world. And so you could be changed, and so can others. That's the purpose. That's it. So Jesus' center prayer, Matthew 6, 9 through 10, still reading from 64 now. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray that our city, neighborhood, nation, or people groups will so reflect his glory and reign that it is like heaven on earth. Does Jesus ask us to pray for something that he doesn't intend to fulfill? God is not satisfied with a handful of believers, small groups, or churches in a people group. His vision is a multitude of people worshiping him from every people group. One of the things that I really enjoyed, just side note, in the first three chapters, was Ying Kai, his story, especially in the previous chapter, chapter three, where they were growing one church a year. Then they got up to that they had reached 8,000 people. Now, a normal church would go pat themselves on the back and go, dude, that's really amazing. And that is amazing. Don't get me wrong. That is a lot of families that are impacted, 8,000 people. But then they looked at it and compared it to the population and said, dude, we're not even making a dent. The population versus the amount of people we're reaching, we're not doing enough. Why? Because we're not getting as much clicks on YouTube that we should be. Because we're not getting, you know, as much tithing and offerings that we could have in ministries operating. No, they said, we don't have enough people. Why? Because look at the population and look at Jesus's commission. It's not matching. So which one's right, which one's wrong? that was their mindset. Okay. And I loved that part that he brought that out. We'll continue on. His central mission, talking about Jesus, is about the kingdom. Matthew 24, 14. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Notice it didn't say, notice how Jesus words that. He doesn't just say, he expects the kingdom to be preached to nations. And we're trying to muster up to talk to people. He is literally saying, what I gave you is so powerful. It will transform a nation. That's amazing. And we're struggling with neighborhoods.
Right. And that's why it's so important. Like something that I was thinking about it when I shared yesterday with the group that I'm with is that if we're unhappy about the culture, it's because we need to affect that culture with the gospel.
From the grassroots level.
Because that's how it's done. That is like the best grassroots level. Jesus was the best influencer. If we're to think about it in today's time, the best, the most effective way to change culture is grassroots levels. And that is what the Great Commission, you know, is. It's a grassroots level effort.
I have a niece. She's a traveling registered nurse. She's 27 years old. And I was talking to her, my other niece, who is 21. So 27, 21. And I was talking to them yesterday. We had a baby shower, my niece's, their sister's baby shower, my niece's. And I was talking to my 21-year-old niece. I said, Mija, in high school, were they teaching like the transgender stuff in high school? She was like, a little bit. We were starting to hear it. Now, mind, because she's been out of school now for several years. She said, I little things here and there, yeah, it would get brought up, but not like today. I asked my niece, you know, 27, she was like, no, I never even heard of that until I went to med school and I was at San Jose State. Then I started hearing it recently a little bit, but, and I asked them, I said, what's changed? And they, both of these young girls looked at me and they said, social media. Why? Because it hits a grassroots level. Social media hits a grassroots level. to the average normal person. And it comes from the grassroots level, pushes it forward, and works upstream. And then everyone up here with power and money is just capitulating back and forth, and they're driving the message down, they're pulling it back up, and we're now in this cycle. My son has a toy that you go and it spins, and then you flip it and it spins, and then you go and it spins, and you flip it and it spins. It's the same thing. It's just the same. It's just the same thing.
Add to that, like, it's only 1 to 2% of the population.
Yeah, if that.
And if they're able to affect this change, how much more the body of Christ that is supposed to be more numerous,
absolutely, right? Absolutely. The message is the kingdom.
The big issue is not the kingdom. It's the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of the church. And
that's the issue. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Just a sidebar.
Yeah.
What's your brother's name?
David? Oh, wait, which brother? I have three brothers.
You have his brother Ramon?
No.
Okay. What's the name of your church that you teach today?
House of Rest.
Okay.
The next bullet point, his final teaching in Acts also was about the kingdom. To these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 1:3. Guys, this is really important. Jesus gave a 40-day Bible study on the kingdom of God before he left. If you were leaving, wouldn't the last words you were going to say be the most important?
Yeah.
He spent 40 days on that topic of the kingdom of God and said, before I leave, I've got to make sure you understand this. He didn't say the kingdom of the church. He didn't say, let me give you this doctrine. He didn't say, no. He said, I've got to give you the understanding of the kingdom of God before I go, because this is the message. So then we have to begin to ask, what is that message and what is the kingdom? That kingdom of God that he left us, what is that? Those are his first and his last words, was about the reign of the king. I'm just reading the book here. So you can go back and highlight and go through these scriptures afterwards. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God, what does good news mean? What's another word that's used in good
gospel?
The word gospel means good news.
Where in the book are you right now?
Page 64.
The bottom.
Talk about page.
The last paragraph.
Oh, there it is. Actually, okay. I'm looking all over.
And the king, it says, here's look how it's broken down. I just found this interesting. Preaching the gospel or the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They were being baptized, men and women alike. The next verse, next passage, Acts 14:21 through 22. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Quick side point. They traveled through, they preached the kingdom of God, the gospel, and the name of Jesus. And then on this trip, they're coming back. And when they came back, what were they doing on the way back? What did it say they were doing?
Strengthening the souls.
So they think about this. They didn't send them to seminary. They didn't send them on a trip for 90 days doing a workshop. They preached the gospel, lived it out, stayed as long as they could, and continued, and left behind with them what? The Spirit and the Word. And then they could come back and do what? Strengthened, fully expecting that the Holy Spirit was going to do what he promised. that he would teach them. Right? He would convict them of sin. He would lead them. He did. Paul knew, I'm not leaving them alone. I'm leaving them with the Holy Spirit. So let me point to them what I can, leave, and then put it this way. If I planted 10 seeds, I fully expect to have some type of harvest when I get out. So what you're planting, expect to have a harvest. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is working with you. And when you leave, he continues. Just make sure it's the kingdom. If you're planting pumpkin seeds and you're expecting to get watermelons, see, now you might be disappointed. Just make sure the seeds you're planting is the kingdom. Acts 19:8. And he entered the synagogue and continued speaking out boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. Acts 28:30 through 31. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him. See, that must be a misprint. That can't be right. There had to be a ministry that was funding his quarters for him to live in. There's no way that Paul was paying for his own. That's not right. He was a minister. I'm kidding. He paid for his own. That's okay. And was welcoming all who came in. The criteria wasn't, hey, if I have financial support or not. The criteria was there's a need. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. I'm going to skip down. It says we're in bold letters. Jesus knew that if he could get the kingdom, the king's reign right, we would get the church right. That's important. You want to know why the church isn't right? Because we hadn't got the message of the king's reign right. Many ministries are reigning. Many ministers are reigning when it's the king that's supposed to be reigning. If we get the kingship, Paul preached in Acts 2. He says, and this Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Many may have him as the messianic promise that was to come, but many still haven't put him as Lord. Does that make sense? Stop, please stop me. I'm just reading through because I want to make sure some of this we grasp.
What specifically are you going to teach the kingdom?
We're going to get into that. I just want to get the fact of the importance of that.
Yes, a priority.
It is a high priority. Albert?
So when you say Lord, can you elaborate on that more? Because we live in a democracy, it's kind of hard to understand like kingdom, right? Like I've always had an issue with that, just understanding what did he mean by like the preach the kingdom of God, and like I know the other part, but heal the sick, raise the dead, but then he said preach the kingdom of God. Like, what did he mean when he said that?
Well, no, I think that's a good, really good question. And because here's the deal. And I mean, again, we're going to cover this again in more detail, but in a very simple way. Because we live in a democracy, we don't understand certain words and concepts. So if someone is a king, let's say you own property, Albert, and you don't live in a democracy, You live in a what would it be called? A theocracy or monarchy. That king or queen owns that land. You can have rights to that land, but ultimately it is all owned by the monarchy. You're just a steward of it with rights. So there's a bit that, and I mean, we'll get in more detail, but just think of it this way. Albert, he is king over all things. You and I are stewards over everything that is his. So it is our responsibility to be good stewards of the king, of everything that pertains to him. Your finances don't belong to you. You are a steward of the king's finances. Your time doesn't belong to you. You are a steward of the king's time.
Your body.
Your body, your life, your marriage, your family, your children. You are raising your children as a steward of the king. All of these things belong to him. If it doesn't, he's not Lord. And maybe he's Lord in certain areas, and maybe he's Lord in not other areas. And this is our job, to make sure that he is Lord over those things, because he is Lord. He is king over all.
That's ministering to me too, bro.
All of us.
Yeah.
Because to be a disciple maker, you have to give your time. What is precious? Time. Do we not have families? So how do we manage our time? How do we maneuver our time? How do we take care of our responsibilities and not be negligent to those things? If you're married, you gave your word. You had kids, that was your choice. You can't blame you can't blame the neighbor for you having kids. You know?
And how you manage your time and everything that belongs to God, right, is that will yield results. And that's where we go into the parable about the, you know, the different servants, right? Mm-hmm. And the one that yielded, 10 or 5, you know, got 10, you know, it was added more. And so the one that hid it, the one that didn't manage.
Yeah, 30, 60, and 100-fold.
He was basically thrown out because he saw the king as a harsh master, not understanding, you know, and that's how he judged the king. Yeah. So we need to understand that we are the steward and the king is generous, but that we also have a responsibility to manage what he has given us with wisdom,
yep.
You know, and correctly, and then you need to admit one. But also,
okay.
Also, we are just a side note. We're actually a republic. Our government,
yeah.
Not a democracy. Which is, you know, just there is a difference with that. But anyway, the point is, we're not the problem. I think that we run into is that we're not.
The terms are very unfamiliar to me.
Yeah. So we're the monarchy.
Yeah.
You know, like understanding what that would look like within our culture. It really takes, I think, just asking the Holy Spirit for that revelation.
Well we're gonna take a little bit more time in that subject as we go forward, because we gotta know what we're talking about. We can't just throw out, a lot of times the church throws out terms, and we gotta get rid of just throwing out terms.
Well, maybe to kind of put it in terms we understand, that is, like, if you're working for a company, okay, say you're an account manager, you're expected to you have accesses to the company's resources, you're expected to steward those or to use those properly. You can be doing all that. Those aren't your resources to use for yourself personally, but you have access to those. Your responsibility is to go and use those for the advancement of the company.
We had a sales guy that got in trouble. Not in trouble, but he was purchasing things for clients, like, let's say, box of donuts or cookies, Gatorades for clients, and dropping them off. He didn't get in trouble for doing that. But what he got in, not trouble's the wrong word, but our boss, when we found out, we said, how long have you been doing that? Oh, a couple months. Okay, how come you never turned in a receipt? I didn't know I could. Yeah, that's part of the job. It was part of your job in doing that. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, when you do that for the job, I understand you're paying for it now, but there's a reimbursement process because as an employee, those things that pertain to the job are covered. You're not just on your own. You're not just doing this alone. You're working under the umbrella of the king in that term. So what you're doing is unto him as stewards in all that we do. And is there more to that? Yes. But it's just surrendering your life and understanding that it is the king's life now. He purchased. You were bought with the price. He is king over all.
And I think we can understand it from that scope and take it. And it's just, I think, where we need to understand how that fits into our life is that it needs to be amplified throughout all of our life. So it's not compartmentalized.
In every area.
Yeah, it's every area. And not like, sometimes we tend to compartmentalize, you know, like, well, here I do this, here I'm a husband, here I'm a, you know, I'm an employee. But when you are in Christ, that is the overarching position, is that you are a son of God in every area of your life. And so that's where we need to get that understanding, you know. I'm still working on, you know.
And it's not an easy transition, whether you understand the concept or not, just in this fact, because that's going to require for you to die.
Yeah, and that's never fun.
And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
Because why you hold on to something instead of trusting it in his hands is a conversation of trust and confidence. And that's just the way that it is. Last couple key points, and then we'll anything you guys online, Jenny, anything you want to chime in on?
I don't know. I just think the lordship or kingship, it's for me, it's actually very easy to understand, because even though you are living in US, we don't have to think about like, okay, we don't have a king here for this nation. It's like before we were the kings. We were the Lord for ourselves. It's like, I decide, this is my life, right? I own it. Whatever I want, I get it. This is mine. Now you change that lordship, which means that you make Jesus your Lord. Yeah, for me, it's easy to, and that means gospel, which actually means a gospel requires you to switch the lordship, like the ownership of your life. I think this message, I mean, this point must be in the gospel presentation. Of course, this is going to be a procedure. This is going to be a process for anybody, right? But really, I agree. The gospel is not like a one-time thing. You say it and that person just get it. No, it can be a process for that person. But anyway, I want to see that person submit his life to the lordship of Jesus. For me, that's when he really received Jesus as the Christ. And the kingdom comes with the king. This is my understanding.
No, that's I love it. Thank you. That's really good. Because understand when you're working with people and you're presenting the gospel, it may be multiple conversations, multiple situations. They might, through knowledge and information, agree religiously with what you're saying. And the first level. The second level might be they appreciate the prayers you're giving them. And then maybe there's a little bit of light at the end of that where they go, that's coincidence. And it's just kind of walking people through that. But eventually, like what Jenny was saying, and it's true, walking them through to submission of him being Lord is the gospel. It is taking them there to that place and handing them over to the Spirit, teaching them in the process how they got there is the same way you got there, and allowing the Word and the Spirit of God to grab root in them to know what to do with it. Because when they walk away from you, they can't be dependent on you. They have to understand. If you blindfolded someone and got them to Mount Everest, and they could go, dude, man, oh my gosh, I've been to Mount Everest. And then you blindfolded them and got them back out. And then when they get home, they tell all these wonderful stories of Mount Everest. And then somebody goes, well, how'd you get there? I don't know. How'd you get back? No clue. What good is that, right? Then they're never going to have that experience with anybody else. All they're going to do is share Mount Everest stories. How many people do you know? How many Christians do you that have shared a story of, I walk with Jesus. Okay, how'd you get there? I don't know.
Yeah.
How do you get me there? I don't know. Right? You know, that's really important. That's why getting your story, talking about writing your story down, getting it through. Because here's the other thing too that I made a point on Wednesday. Every biblical story from old to new, when they encountered God, there was a point in time that they could point to that says, I met him. I met him. Whether it was on the road of Damascus, whether it was the Ethiopian reading Isaiah, whether it was Pentecost, Gate Beautiful. I mean, we can go down the list. Cornelius and his family. Thomas, when Jesus reappeared. Every encounter, there must be a moment, like with Jenny, going back to that point of transitioning your lordship of you owning your life to him. Walking people to that moment, not of experience in the sense of emotion, but to know I met him. I know him. And sometimes maybe you've walked with God for so long that maybe you have to think about it, but walking it to a place to go, I know that time. I'll never forget. Guys, I'll never forget being 12 years old when I surrendered my life to Jesus. It was on the south side of Tracy, and the other side of tracks. It was a Friday night service. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget a week before Christmas receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost the following year, because I had been searching for the baptism of the Holy Ghost for a full year. I'll never forget that. I just left leaving a service in Stockton, coming back to our church on a Friday night after a play. I wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost so bad. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget surrendering my life back to Jesus in October of 97. When I walked away for several years and I went back into the world, and I was in the back of a church sitting there, and the preacher asked the question, how many of you are tired of your life? And I ran up front. I was 19 years old. I'll never forget that. There's certain moments in time when you look at your life and when you're writing your story, look at those moments and just consider, I knew when I met him. The men that were on the road of Emmaus, I knew that was him. I met him. When did you meet him? Ponder over that thought when you met him. And here's the statement I said on Wednesday. If somebody can't point to that moment of encountering you, then go have a moment with him. I invite you to have a moment with him. Not just for the sake of experience, but for life's transformation, to know, I know him. He spoke to me. He changed me. He transformed me. I'm not the same person anymore. I'm not just a good person carrying the book. I'm not that person anymore. Even though you might have some moments and struggles, that you're not the same person anymore. The gospel is life transformational. It is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. It is the gospel. It is the message. It is the hope. This is the hope of everything around us and everything that will be. This is what this is. And the last part I just want to throw in here is there's a little box on page 66 that I highlighted. If we do not understand the ways of the king's reign, we will not welcome it when it starts, nor fan its flames, and we may even find ourselves opposing it. It's in the little box here, like this. I highlighted that. The last scripture and text. The good news is that God delights in revealing the truth of his kingdom to his followers. When we come with open hearts and minds like little babies. Matthew 13:11 and verse 16. Jesus answered his disciples, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." We're going to stop there for us in this book here. I have a question for you. Why was it granted to the disciples the mysteries of the kingdom, and why was it not granted to others, to those that were listening?
They wanted it, and everybody else was hungry for it.
How do you define hunger for? What do you mean?
Strong desire.
Willing to look for it. Willing to.
I would put it this way. I think you're right, but here would be the term. Who left for it?
Who left for it? Behind.
Who left something behind for it? Mm-hmm. The disciples.
Yeah, they were willing to pay price to
They were willing to sacrifice whatever it was to follow him. Yep, they had skin in the game. Compared to those who just wanted to come and maybe listen.
The Spirit's been speaking to me, and I talked to Dennis, and I think I talked to you about the whole part about the surrendering. We have to get the old man out to make room for the new man. We have to get the old, who you were, it has to be pushed out to make room to be filled up with what Christ is creating in us. Am I saying that the right way?
Well, I've finished your point.
My point is that what we were, if we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for him to come in.
So then we're talking lordship.
Lordship, but he also mentioned it to the Pharisees. He mentioned that something about the word, there's no place for the room for the word in you. You know, they have to allow that stuff to.
Yeah.
You know, even Paul said, all that I had is rubbish. He kicked it all out. He said, I was this, I was this, I was this, I was this. He says, all that was rubbish. Or something else.
Yeah.
Well, but he emptied himself of all that he was to make room for what God was creating in him.
Well, I'll just stay on that thought. I'm going to reread a verse we read. Paul wrote in Acts 14:22, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many deaths, through many tribulations, through many sacrifices, through many the leaving away. If you do not love, if he who loves mother and father, brother and sister, right? You know, if you love it more than the gospel, then you're not worthy. And it's in that mode of what you're saying. It's you're right. You know, it goes back to a story. I'd heard this story. I think Curry told this story, and I read it in a book before. Bruce Lee, the story went that Bruce Lee went to a trainer to train him. And he said, you're the master of this area, whatever. I want you to train me. And Bruce Lee gives him his whole resume. And the elder gentleman comes and he says, would you like a cup of tea? Bruce Lee says, yes. And he sits down and he starts pouring water in the cup of tea. And he's pouring water in it as Bruce Lee is talking. And the water fills up the cup and then starts pouring out slowly onto the little plate below it. Bruce Lee notices it and the man's still pouring. And then it starts overflowing from the cup. Now it's overflowing from the plate. Now it's overflowing in the table. And then Bruce Lee goes, hey, stop. It's filled. And then the man looks at Bruce Lee and he says, and so are you. I have nothing to give you because you're too full. Go empty the cup because you have no room for what I'm going to teach. And I thought that was such a fitting situation, that going back to lordship, that many Christians, we find ourselves, like what you're saying, Tim, we're still too filled up with too much stuff. And being able to surrender that unto him, because a lot of us have information. I see it, Albert. A lot of us have information. And like what Jenny was saying, and I agree, the church has done a poor explanation of what that is. Albert?
It's related to the verse where it says that he revealed it to like babes and not like, or Jesus had said of the Pharisees, where they kind of had everything figured out already. And, well, in terms of them thinking they knew it, like they didn't really understand what he was saying, right? They didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
So like the disciples were willing to like open up and receive what he was saying. So,
well,
related.
It's not mind opening up to spirit revelation. That's not what we're saying. We're not talking about spiritual enlightenment in the sense that if you open yourself up and empty yourself up, you know, you can get this element to come. And that's not what we're saying. Because we're going to get into it a little bit more. And honestly, it's just a very simple concept. If you finish reading chapter 4, I'll tell you exactly where it just quickly explains it. Pages 78, 79, and 80. Obedience-based versus knowledge-based ministry. If you go through that, it's pretty simple. Maturity, the maturing progress. Believe, serve, mature. See, here's the thing. In the Western mindset, we want to mature, believe, and then serve. The problem is, guys, especially all of us that have come in, most, you know, let's say we came in, we met each other through JJLM and the DHT. Or the new man. It's the same concept, same principle. Well, I want to minister to somebody, get healed. Then you have to minister. Well, I tried it twice and it didn't work. Try it again. It's the same principles. Principles of faith are eternal principles. They remain the same, consistent. It irrelevant to how you view the diamond. It's still a diamond and it's just the facet. So what he was saying in that, Albert, is here's the deal. If you want to know the mysteries of the kingdom, you have to involve yourself with the kingdom. You have to involve yourself with the obedience in the kingdom. You have to involve yourself, you know, because the seed of the kingdom is the word. It's there. You're not going to change it. You're just planting it in the life of people. When you start seeing the most amazing thing, and see, if you've never had this experience before, I would tell you, it is like none other. Is somebody who doesn't know anything. And it was you that walked them through that whole. It is rare, because sometimes it's like maybe you come in later in their life and they've already heard the gospel and they've heard, and you're kind of that finishing touch. But it is rare sometimes when you come across someone that doesn't know the gospel at all. And you walk them through that process and you see the light. Boom, boom. It's just, it is amazing as you walk them through, because it does come through information and acknowledgement first. They will comprehend it. It will make sense. And then when they start putting it into their life, when their life begins to change and they begin to see that, like right now, what I was telling you earlier about Chris, who we pray on the phone every Monday and every Friday. According to him, he tells, because he goes to a church, he goes to all their events and everything else. He said, Angel, I look forward to our Mondays and Fridays. He says, I grow. The other parts, he said, I have fellowship with people. Yeah, he said, I have fellowship with people. I get to know them. He said, but I grow. He said, because nobody asks me questions. Nobody presses me for an answer. Nobody, he says, you'll ask me questions and not give me an answer. And you'll force me, because I know you're going to ask me in 3 to 4 days from now, did I look it up? And sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Then he'll remember, then he'll go back. But guys, it's the, like what you said, there's no skin in the game. You got to have skin in the game.
Well, how often is somebody preaching and using terminology and never explained?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the other part too in the story real quick, because we close this out. Albert, like you were talking about your story. The reason why I want to hear your story is I want to hear the words you use. Is it relatable? Is it common enough? Is it too technical? Is it too broad? Is it too general? Is it too detailed? You know, we had this conversation on Wednesday with somebody told their story. And I told them, I said, what your story? That's amazing in how you told the story. But that if you tell your story to, if that's your story, and how it was worded on Wednesday, you're going to miss a lot of people because it was way too over the top spiritual. Get it, generalize it to what it needs to be, and be ready with those bullets when you need to use it, when the Holy Spirit gives you the green light.
But in the book, they say write Pillsbury.
I don't remember that. Did it? I didn't catch that.
Well, there's not short and long, but it's two different. You could reach two different types of people that he was talking.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I'll have to go and show me. Because here's my mindset. One story in general, you know your life beyond that. In other words, if you've got 90 seconds of your story, those are 90 seconds. But guys, you know, if you went through a car accident and you reached out to God when you were in the hospital, you know, if a loved one was sick and you were ministering healing to them and God answered, you know that. But you don't have to cram that into that first part of the story. But you also have the stories of the testimony of your life that you will share over time with people in the process of it all. So that way you can, you always have that. So to adapt your story further, you have those stories, whether it was financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, marriage, children, health, you have those there. But if we can get that first part, at least it gives you an opportunity, like Albert, and you and I will walk through the story together, is give you a framework of a foundation to work from. How do I interact with the general person? Because I think that's key. And then from there, we build. And you know how you're going to build on it? It's just experience. If you have enough experience under your belt and witnessing and sharing with people, you're going to learn how to transition and flow in the conversation over time. You'll get better at it. I have ended up ministering healing to someone that I didn't know I was going to minister healing to them when I didn't even know that was the situation. I might have just started as a conversation. And then through the conversation, I shared the gospel, witnessed to them, you know, and okay, I'll give a perfect example real quick and close it out. Wednesday, a couple Wednesdays ago, I was at my brother's church and I was teaching. After the teaching, I did an altar call. So guys, you know, anybody wants to get ministered to, if you need deliverance, if you need healing, we want to lay hands on you. About 6 people came up, maybe. So one of the last people that came up, she wanted me to pray for her grandson that she was taking care of. He was 8 years old, going through some stuff. And so I laid hands on the boy, and we prayed over him, and that was fine. I prayed over the grandma. And as she was right before she was walking away, this is all I said. I said, high blood pressure, I command you to go. Cholesterol, I command you. Veins, clear now in Jesus' name. And then she looked at me and she goes, my right leg. That's all she said, my right leg. I said, okay. Pain, spirit of pain, go right now. I command her body, be healed now in Jesus' name. That's all I said. That tone, that's all I said. She looks up at me, just boom, her eyes just super big. And she goes, what was that? I said, what are you talking about? She goes, my leg. I said, then go walk on. She starts walking on her leg. Now, unfortunately, they shut the camera off at this time. She starts walking on her leg, and dude, she loses it. She just starts bawling her. See, all she said was my leg. I didn't know that she had been in chronic pain for 5-6 years every day, taking high medications, never, you know, the doctor never finding a solution. And she gets healed right then and there in that moment 2 weeks ago. And her 8-year-old grandson who's standing right there is looking at her. And I was like, is grandma always in pain? He was like, she's always in pain. Okay. I prayed for that boy. I'm sure it did something for him. But you know what did something more for him? Is the fact that grandma just got healed right in front of him. Wasn't anticipated. Didn't even know. I was ministering. If you do that enough times, it will just flow from you. Why? Because it's just life flowing from you. And that's it. Go back. It goes back to the basic training. The light of love. That in him was the light of men. What is in you? His light in men. That's it. So, Albert, Jenny, Jerry, Vanya, anything before we close out on your guys' end? Because we're going to pray for needs over here. We're going to pray for one another. Anything on your guys' end on the call?
No, that was very good.
Okay, awesome. And if you guys have any needs that you want us to pray for, pray with, text us and we'll lift those needs up for you. And anything else, Jenny, Albert, Vanya, before? Did I mute anyone? Okay. Well, guys, we're going to pray for some needs here before we go. Text, put it on the chat. And let us know, and then we'll connect. I'll send a text out this week or to later on today as well of what chapters to continue in reading, and we'll go from there.
Hey, all right. Thank you.
Love you guys. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you. Blessings.
Bless you guys. Bye.
Bye.